First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello, Braden Harrington here for Up Next, postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast app you use, or you're watching us live on twitch.tv/upnextpodcast or youtube.com/upnext. And yes, Davey, my roommate, my life partner in podcasting, has a vacation day, a well-deserved, I think he was at the CN Tower today, but have no fear, because I brought the next best thing. I brought the man, the myth, the legend, celebrating spooky season here tonight. Post Wrestling's own Andrew Thompson is in the house. Hello, Andrew.
Braden Harrington. It's been a long time, my friend. How you feeling?
Very too long. Too long, my good man. We've definitely had some fun recording some shows in the past.
I'd always think back to the time. Well, one of our good fellows, Diggy Bird, is currently monitoring the stream.
Yes,
right
he
now.
Is.
And the last time this trio was together was that All Out 2021 review. Bar none, one of my favorite reviews that I've ever done. That was just laughs all the way through, and we actually got like some good conversations in there too. So hopefully, since we got the trio back, this will be something similar to what we did back then.
Yes, I'm super excited to chat with you. Shout out Father Dickie in the chat, moderating, helping us out here tonight with the live streams and everything. And anyone viewing in the chat is always fire. Maybe you're new to Up Next. We cover NXT every week and all sorts of other wrestling. And I mean, we're going to jump into some Halloween havoc from NXT tonight. But Andrew, yeah, I mean, what do you got to say right now?
I was about to say real quick, for anything, I want to send a congratulations to that man, Dickie Bird, on becoming a soon to be father. Congratulations,
right,
man. I hope I know he can hear this. I don't know if he could. Y'all can't hear him, but yeah, shout out to you, man. Congratulations, big congratulations to you. Best
yes.
of luck. You're going to be great. You're going to be great at it.
There's going to be the addition to the post wrestling Up Next community, Dickie Jr. Eventually, one day we'll get him on a show. I'm super excited. We'll get to the show, but I'm super excited because I recently got to hang out with Dickie. I got to hang out with some crew with the AEW being in town. But post wrestling is doing a 5-year anniversary party. Shout out John Away, the kings of wrestling podcast ish. They're throwing a huge party. Shout out Robert Pearson in Newark right before Full Gear in November. And man, Andrew, I'm finding out just before we go live that me and you are going to actually meet face to face for the first time, because we are both going to be in attendance at the post wrestling party.
I feel like this is about to be like the. I think you had said it earlier when we was messaging about the NXT show. You was like, it's gonna be like the post multiverse. Like I feel like any and everybody who's like affiliated with post in like any way, like you probably be like one podcast on the site. Like you will be there,
yep,
in attendance at post. So, I mean, at the
multiverse
show. It's gonna be a good time, bro.
Yeah, if you're going to Full Gear, hey, we'll be doing this right beforehand. Go to postwrestling.com for all the info, and tickets are going to be selling out pretty quick. They're already flying off the interweb. So go get tickets, and it's going to be quite a fun time. And I can't wait to meet all the listeners and the whole community, people like you, Andrew, and just it's going to be a riot. And this whole thing is awesome that we have this community. And I definitely am speaking for the post guys, John Away and Davey and myself. Like, community is what we pretty much base this whole stuff on. So we're really excited, and we can't wait, because we've been having some parties up here in the six. And Andrew, I don't know if you're ready to party with the BDE.
I heard my fair share of stories. how y'all get down up there, man. I don't know if I can hang, but I be there from morning to the afternoon. I get tired quick. I'm gonna be there for some of the festivities.
Yes, all right.
For y'all shenanigans, man.
Yes, shenanigans is the right way to do it. If you are quick plugs, you like shenanigans, you should check out the Up Next Patreon. We just did a review, just dropped a retro Halloween Havoc review, 25th anniversary of Halloween Havoc 1997, featuring the most iconic match in Halloween Havoc history, really. Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero. And yeah, it holds up. Me and Davey ran through the whole show. And then we got a review of The Omen, talking all about spooky season. And then following our Cobra Kai reviews, we got The Karate Kid Part 3 as selected by World Champ patron Howie. So go check it out. $5 a month for the North Americans here. And you get access to every podcast in the back catalog there, including all sorts of shenanigans. As you called it there, but it's Halloween Havoc. I mean, we're a week away from Halloween. Are you going to be celebrating any of those festivities? Do you have a costume lined up? I put on a skeleton shirt because everyone on NXT tonight was in great costume. Shout out Sam Roberts and his Stone Cold Steve Austin costume. If you saw the pre-show,
I saw somebody say him and Mackenzie Mitchell was dressed as John Moxley and Renee Paquette.
I see it now. Yeah, I can totally see that now. Yeah.
That was hilarious. But no, I haven't celebrated Halloween and I don't know how long, bro, but I always enjoy seeing like all the funny costumes and stuff like that. It's always cool seeing like the different like stuff that people come up with. Like I saw a dude last year, he dressed up like the KFC man. People come up with some of the best stuff for this time of year. But I wanted to ask, like, since you were talking about you guys did the Omen review, did you get a chance to see the Black Phone?
Oh yeah, the Black Phone. Yeah, I watched it last week. I watched it after the Bray Wyatt return because I was like, all right, I gotta see that.
Did you like it?
I've been watching. Oh man, I've been watching all sorts of spooky stuff. I just watched the Black Phone. Halloween Ends, which I did not like too much, but still entertaining. But the Black
People
Phone
say that was some shit.
Yeah, it was. Black Phone was pretty cool, and it like has some like supernatural like twists to it, which is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. But the mask and the Ethan Hawke, man, he's super creepy in that movie, and I it definitely looked Bray Wyatt's new mask. Made by the same crew and people, so I did enjoy that. It's almost like he's probably taking some inspiration from that movie. But I was watching, I just like marathoned through The Watcher on Netflix, which is about like this somewhat true story about this family that like is like being watched and gets these letters and stuff like that. I don't know. I got like super into it and started digging into true crime stuff like that, and I
do the same thing.
Yeah, those rabbit holes and stuff, I'll fly through those. But I love we've done so many different like horror movie reviews. We've done The Thing, we've done Halloween, we're doing our free Halloween review, Halloween 5, we're doing like next week, this week we're recording. So we love any other recommendations for horror movies for this spooky season?
I can't think of nothing off the top except for like all the old good stuff. Like the one thing I can't stand is when they keep trying to remake the Texas Chainsaw Massacres. I cannot stand that. But there will never be another Chainsaw Massacre like the one that was made. What was that? The early 2000s? I think it was like 2003. I believe that's when that movie came out. That is the best one.
No, the original is the best one. Like the OG, like from like the 70s?
Oh, you talking about the OG, but the one that they made in the early 2000s, bro.
You were a fan of that one.
They
Jessica Biel, right?
Stop. Yeah, I think she was in that movie.
That's why it was so good.
They should have just stopped. they should have just stopped with the whole franchise right there.
They'll never stop. I mean, Halloween Ends, it's funny because I think it was John Cena was telling me that the license now can goes back to the original Halloween people, like the original license. So that means they could just start making a new Halloween movie like right now if they really wanted to. So Halloween time, I'll take any horror suggestions. We got the Omen review coming out. That was a blast. We've done The Exorcist. I go through all the retro stuff around this time. I watched Scary Movie earlier today, actually. I threw that on. I don't know if that counts.
Classic.
Yeah, classic. Definitely did not age well, but still a classic. I know every line in that movie, which is very very problematic, really, to be honest. But classic.
That's how I feel about like when I watch Rush Hour. I was like, bro, there is no way these movies would be able to come out present. It's no way, bro. It's no way.
Different times, but I mean, you know what? When things change, they also stay the same because Halloween Havoc.
Look at that!
Is kicking off.
Oh. That man a professional. Look at that.
Halloween Havoc, me and Davey have done some retro reviews of this. These shows were back in the day, there was some plunder on the show and then some really like standout stuff. And I can probably kind of say the same thing about going into this show, talking about this show here tonight, kind of catching people up. Have you been following NXT kind of week to week and stuff like that. Cause I mean, mm-hmm. like, you know, since the color change, basically mm-hmm. like it's changing up that like they've gone to orange cause Halloween Havoc or something like that. But like, how are you feeling as a whole with like the changes of WWE and NXT?
Yeah. So I keep up because I cover, NXT on the site. I'm able to keep up with it. So, when they did the first, you know, when they first did, the little transition at the end of the anniversary show from the NXT 2.0 into the white and gold NXT, I thought that it was going to be like some sort of like seismic shift, but like, probably like 5 minutes after that, I realized like that that's kind of impossible. And that would be kind of dumb in a way to like shift your entire product from what it's been for the entire year, even though it may not be, like it's as many people's favorites as compared, because it's difficult to compare this NXT to what the NXT of 2016 to like 2019 was. It's very difficult to compare those two. But I mean, to be honest with you, bro, like at first, like I'm talking about just from NXT 2.0 and this NXT like combined, like at first I ain't gonna lie, I wasn't really feeling it, because like it was just that hard transition from what NXT was into like just seeing like the sort of downfall, if you will, of that brand, and then transition into this new thing. But like over time, I think I started to like it because it was as advertised in terms of like, this is a developmental, like that's what it is. And they weren't advertising it as anything other than that. So I was just like, I ain't really got no reason to be like, hate watching and shit like that. So I was like, I'm gonna just get into it. And it's cool so far. Like, I mean, is the in-ring stuff the best? It's up and down. It really is. It's up and down. But like, but bro, when it's good, it's good.
Really
like,
good.
As we've seen in the main event. As we've seen in that opening with the ladder match. So, I mean, like, I get how some people feel about, you know, like in terms of critiquing, because it is a lot of critique, as it is in every wrestling product. But I do kind of feel like it's like if you would have asked me like 7 months ago, I'd have been like, bro, this is ridiculous. But like now, I'm just like, I do kind of get the sentiment that people like don't really, I don't want to say give it a chance, because I mean, they don't really have to. But like, I feel like if you sort of get past the idea that they're trying to make this thing more than what it is in terms of like, bro, this is a development. They're telling you this is a developmental show mixed in with, but I just think that rebrand from NXT 2.0 into this current NXT just symbolizes that, okay, this is still a developmental, but we're going to have your sort of key players mixed in, and we're going to have your Nakamura's come down. We're going to have your different people come down. And I think it's actually better that way to filter people in and out. Like I don't know if you caught it, but they say Shotzi was back in NXT, and I don't know if they mean like just for that 1 week, or if they mean like, you know, like she's back permanently. But like, I think Shotzi going back to NXT, I think that actually might be good for her in a way. I feel like she kind of fits the mold of like what they got going on, to be honest with you. I feel like that actually might be good for her to get more reps in the ring. So and then you can use that spot that she's filling in to sort of shift somebody else up and give them a shot and just see what's working. Because that, I mean, the only way you're going to find out is if you put somebody in a position like that. But
yeah,
like,
I mean,
just gave it like a long winded
answer. No, you're right. And I think after tonight, I mean, there's things that are showing that there will be more people from the main roster coming back into this and kind of vice versa. We had Nakamura, we had the Good Brothers. So, I mean, like there's if the Good Brothers show up on NXT, anyone.
The Finesse Kings, man.
Yeah, exactly.
The Finesse Kings.
Exactly. Well, let's go into this show and chat about Halloween Havoc 2022 from NXT. And we had a great spooky intro with the whole Halloween and pumpkins and bats and all that spooky shit that I absolutely love. Then we have the Queen of Halloween, and we have Quincy Elliott here, who says, "Awaken the Queen of Halloween," as Shotzi, who's dressed like the Joker, shows up with like almost like a chainsaw, like a saw, a power saw that just shoots out sparks. And then she says, "Welcome to Halloween Havoc." And she to start off the show. And good little intro here. But it had me thinking, you know, like in a world of Jokers, can we only have one? Who wins? Joker Shotzi or Joker Penta?
Joke, I'm going to have to roll with Joker Pence on that one, my friend. I like Shotzi though.
Yeah, I love Shotzi. This was a cool little opener to start off and kick things off, which sets up our first match, the 5-way North American Vacant Championship ladder match here.
Can we get one of these, Brave? One of these?
Is this an Italian pose for Tony D'Angelo? He's not in this match, but
it was a good match.
You mean Chef's kiss? Good stuff.
The thing, Tony,
man. Yeah,
you making this more difficult than it need to be right now.
You're saying it was a banging match. Yeah, we start off with ladder match featuring five different people. We have Nathan Frazier, Oro Mensah, who's wearing snowboarding goggles for some reason. I hope he knows that won't help him climb the ladder. Wesley Von Wagner, who I think we could be calling Von Cornrows now, some Kenny Powers looking cornrows. And then we have Carmelo Hayes, who has a great introduction from his boy Trick Williams in his great Halloween costume of Hugh Hefner with the hat and everything, who then throws to Mello, who comes out, and it shows the video of him saying "rest in piss to all my ops" as he shows up. And He gets the big entrance. He's the big, I'd say the biggest star in this match, next to Von Wagner, of course. But this match is crazy.
We lying already, I see.
this is just like nonstop with all five guys going at it. Frazier hits a crossbody off the top. There's Mensah hitting exploders in the ring. Von's throwing ladders around at people outside. There's a buckle bomb on Frazier by Wagner. Mello hits a satellite facebuster at one point. Wes comes in with this like seated ladder attack. There's lion salts onto Wes from Mensah, who has some great offense and hope spot here when he's climbing. There's then the fadeaway on Mensah, and Trick like throws the ladder underneath it, so it kind of sandwiches him here. And then Frazier hits this crazy like springboard inverted Spanish fly.
That shit was crazy.
Reminded me of, we've seen Ray Phoenix do this quite a few times on AEW, but this was sweet. Onto Wes, onto the ladder. Definitely.
Bro, did you see like where he landed on the ladder though? Like it was like his hip. I was like, oh my God, I know that shit hurts.
It definitely, anytime with the ladder and sandwiching it between the mat, definitely has to hurt. There's then Mensah, who just gets thrown to the outside. Trick like pushes him at one point. Robert Stone gets involved and takes his shoe off, but he gets thrown out as well. Vaughn then has a ladder and decides to throw it on the outside, taking out Frazier and Wes. But now he doesn't have a ladder to climb, so he goes and tries to find a bigger one. And in doing so, he's setting up the ladder to wedge it between the ring and the thing. Almost takes out a fan, like this close to taking someone's head off with this ladder. Could have been scary. He then sets it up, but then gets laid out by Frazier, who puts him through it with a splash. We then have more splashes. There's then Vaughn, who then comes back from the dead somehow with the military press on Wesley from inside the ring. Throws him, clearing the ropes all the way to the outside, landing and crashing on the commentary desk. I guess the best way to describe this is yeet. He yeeted him here because this was, man, military presses him. This was pretty nuts.
Nah, that probably was crazy.
Probably my favorite part of this match. I just out of nowhere, just launched him here. Vaughn goes up.
The crazy thing was like, I thought that he was going like, get him, like throw him on the table. He launched this dude over the table. I was like, Christ.
That was really far.
I think that's going to be one of those highlights that they're going to always replay on NXT. They might as well go ahead throw that in the video package for
a lot
NXT.
Of the spots in this match, for sure. Yeah. There was then a moonsault. Mensah and Frazier are going at it, and then they eventually both go down. Mello and Wes are fighting, and there's a ladder wedged in between the ladder and the ropes. And Wes eventually jumps off with like a meteora to Mello against another ladder. Wes climbs up the ladder and grabs the title, winning his first ever singles championship. Wesley winning the North American title here in a pretty crazy and fast-paced ladder match. What did you think of this opener?
I said, did you see Shawn Michaels embraced him after he won the belt?
Yes. The Triple H wasn't there to take the picture, but Shawn just straight up hugs you. Hugs you and says you're amazing. Great moment backstage afterwards.
I gotta give it. I don't think I ever told you this story. I think I said it on a podcast before here on Post. But one time when I was this had to be like 2018, 2019. But when I first started doing interviews, I didn't have like any equipment. I was just doing it like with my head, and the audio was so shitty. Like, and I had interviewed Wesley at the time. It was Desmond Xavier.
Yeah,
and he gave like. We had recorded this interview, bro, and the audio was so bad because, again, I didn't have no equipment. And I had asked him, would he mind if, like, I sent them a few questions? Bro, this dude sent me, like, full, like, length text, like, just, like, filled in everything that I needed for that interview, bro. Very, very, very cool dude. So I'm happy to see him get his moment. But I think this was like the perfect way to start off this show. Like I'm a yeah. big fan of the last. I don't know. I can't compare this to the one that they had at Takeover New Orleans, because I feel like that match was just on like on another.
Yeah,
like,
I agree. The, oh the yeah,
arena. That was just on another thing.
You're,
like I feel like
you're talking about the one. You're talking about the one with 5-star Lars.
Yeah.
This one was close. I was hoping for a 5-star Vaughn. I don't know if it quite got there, but Vaughn is, you know. But yeah, I know the one you're talking about. Everyone loves that one. Yeah, it was up there, but it was good, but not quite that one for sure.
It wasn't that one, but like I think this is probably the perfect way to start off the show. I feel like you always, but this one, my preference. I don't know about you, Brandon, or how you feel about it. Like when you talking about in terms of how you like taking your wrestling, but I think it's always good to start it off on a high note. Like start your show off
absolutely
like, the fast pace. Like get the people going right off the jump, and that way it sort of sets the tone. And if something is lackluster, like because I know me and you sort of talked about it before we started recording, I think you might have even said it on air actually, but like it was some of the stuff in the middle was kind of like filler, and it was like I don't know if I'm really feeling that, but like I feel like if you start to show off with something as hot as this, then it'll sort of alleviate everything else and sort of take the pressure off.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's some cases, but
it's like it's like going to a band or a show, right? Like they're always going to start off with a hot song, get the people going. I always, if you start off, that's why I definitely start when Raw's always kicked off with like 30 minute Stephanie McMahon, Triple H intros, like that would just instantly like ruin the mood for the whole show. Whereas AEW does the thing where they always start off with like a hot match, right? NXT takeovers always do that. I figured they would start with this match, and it was a lot of fun. I feel like ladder matches can be difficult. There was like a moment, I don't know if I talked about, where they took Vaughn out, where they like beat him up with a tiny ladder and like threw him into the crowd. I think it was Frazier
and Aura.
And like, I guess that'll like spiral into the storyline with those guys continuing. But like there was a lot of spots. I don't know if maybe it was the cameraman's fault or like the cutting of it, because it kept cutting to dudes like selling and then not selling and then realizing, oh, we're still like,
yeah,
it kept doing that. I was like, that's not their fault though. It's like the camera just kept cutting to them when there was other stuff going on, but still was a pretty fun opener.
I want to read this quote to you from Booker T.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Booker T quotes.
Do you know what unpredictable means? Not being able to be predicted.
It's a Bookerism.
Hey, bro, when I say Booker T is like one of the most unintentionally funny people, bro.
Yeah,
like,
you're right. No, you're right.
Bro, I think that he's not even trying to be funny. Like, he's just one of those like naturally funny. Like, he can't help it, bro. Like, Booker T.
He was on one like, tonight,
look,
for sure.
Hey, Bray, look, when Pat McAfee come back to SmackDown, look, way very cool and all, but like, he might have to wait a little bit. If this was Booker T, might be doing it on a weekly basis.
Yeah, Booker T always impressing on his. There's a few other things he says later that I can't wait to talk about. But yeah, Booker T isms.
Hey, bro, did you see the spot when I had noted down when Oral was on the opposite side of the line, like near facing, and they pushed him and he tried to do the thing. Remember the thing Ricochet did at that same when he got pushed off and he bounced off the ropes and then did the like
he bro, wasn't Oral high up enough do, yet.
Bro, when I say I thought this man was about to spike his head,
me too,
off the apron. I remember when I saw the You can. That's what. Like, you can always tell when somebody's not like where they're supposed to be, or it's not about to go right. Like he was like you said, he was too, like, he wasn't all the way at the top. So when he landed, it looked like he was going straight down. I was like, dude, I'm not even.
I don't know, but he made it out the other side. Yeah, he was climbing it, and I don't think he was all the way at the top yet. And Trick already was tilting it, so I don't think he had the height on him. Which, but he still wrestled the match, and he was fine. But yeah, that could have definitely went bad. But happy to see Wes win the title. It definitely like refreshes it. You could go back to the Carmelo thing, but I honestly think Carmelo needs to move up and be the challenger for Braun somehow, some way there. But I'd say this guy's also just ready for the main roster. As I've said, I think he cuts better promos than most of their superstars. So can't wait to see where he goes. But Wes with this title, like have him, you know, defend it on TV, make it a sweet, sweet run. And I'm interested in some of the matchups that we can get out of Wes versus, you know, X person. We cut to JD McDonagh meditating backstage because he's ready for his triple threat later tonight. We then go to an exclusive where it showed something on WWE.com last night where Alba Fire invites Toxic Attraction, are you ready, to a haunted house. Come find me. She says, meet me here and fight fire with fire. So Toxic Attraction decide they're going to go. Gigi and JC don't want to go. They tell Mandy this is a bad idea, but Mandy says, there's three of us. Come on. Are you scared? So this is a total, like, almost like a cinematch, very similar to the Cameron Grimes haunted house. I think it's the same haunted house. They get in their whatever white Jeep, white car thing that Toxic is driving. They get to the haunted house.
That was a Range, man.
Ranger. So I'm terrible with cars. Yeah. White Ranger. They got style. They show up to this haunted house and they're scary guys. It's like the haunted mansion. They're going through this haunted maze. JC punches one guy and then they decide to split up to find Alba. Now it's turning into Scooby-Doo. And JC says, why should we split up? We should never split up. And well, she was right, because she's the first one to get kidnapped here by Alba Fire. This whole thing is ridiculous and it's all spooky. And there's people jumping out trying to scare Toxic Attraction here. But I will say this whole cinematch of spooky ridiculousness is far superior to Halloween Ends. So check this haunted house out.
A pumpkin took the bat.
A pumpkin took the bat from Mandy Rose. Yeah, there's pumpkins.
A pumpkin, bro.
There's pumpkins. Pumpkin. There was ghosts. There was Gigi. It cuts to Gigi. She just sits down with all these scary monsters and she's loving it because she's like, she's goth bae. So she's like, yo, I'm fitting goth in with bae. She's fitting in with her people here. I like this. This made me laugh because she's like, yeah, this is normal to me. It's like the monsters or something. And then it turns into a horror movie because Alba attacks her. They're throwing props at each other. They're throwing people at her. Then she finally gets thrown in, kidnapped into like the freezer. The freezer like pulls her in. It's like a scary movie.
I know me and you going to talk about it later, but like, I think we kind of like noticed when this was happening that this was going to be a thing where at least I thought that it was going to be a way to remove them.
Yeah.
Like Gigi and JC from the match. And then they end up getting back involved in the match. Like I thought the whole point was to like, get them away.
No, that would make sense. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I was very confused when the match happened.
So yeah, eventually they Mandy and Alba fight and it's Alba who gets the best of Mandy and throws her in the Range Rover?
Yeah, Range Rover.
And
fancy, big money.
Yeah, Alba then drives off with Mandy, kidnapping her and leaving Gigi and JC in the haunted house. So very spooky cinematch here with Alba Fire driving Mandy, which we can only imagine is back to the arena to face her one-on-one without Toxic Attraction. But what did you think of this little scary movie? You're a big horror movie fan, so what did you think of this? It's very Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I was patiently waiting for this thing to be over. I was not really feeling it, but at the same time, like again, at the time when it was airing, I was like, oh, this is just a way for them to, you know, get Gigi and JC out of the mask. I was like, it's, you know, I guess it makes sense in the theme of the whole Halloween Havoc thing. But as we would later find out, Gigi and JC have Uber. So
yeah, I mean, there's Uber in Florida, so there you go.
Is it? I'm playing. It is.
Yeah, I did Uber Black one time. I felt real fancy in Orlando one time. And I was like, oh, they have it.
That's the thing. That's the thing when they put you up in the SUV, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you got like a security guard, almost like a nice driver. You feel real bougie. Yeah, I've done it like twice.
They open the door
for you. Yeah, that's right. But if you get in, if you ever get in an Uber with me, I'll always open the door for you. I'm very chivalrous. Chivalry is not dead. This haunted house. This segment was dead. This was so ridiculous, so over the top, so campy that I think I.
What does that mean?
Campy.
I keep saying people said like they said that's camp. I don't know what that means.
Like,
what does that mean?
Really over the top, not good. Let's look up what the campy definition is, because maybe I've been using it wrong this whole time. Something. Let's like see. Another word like for camp. Oh, well, that thing? Doesn't really help me. Yeah. Well, now I'm getting camping, meaning like we're going camping, but that's not really helping me now. But
I always see people from like up north that they always say that. Not particularly Canada, but like I'm talking about like people like
deliberately people exaggerated and theatrical in style, typically for humorous effect. So yeah, like over the top, kind of like way too campy. But really, it was definitely Halloween Havoc because it was all these monsters and zombies and. You know, I miss Zombie Ref. He was not there, but we see him ref later on. But yeah, haunted houses and Toxic Attraction being left there for dead in the haunted house. Love my haunted houses. But wait, there's more because we go to a spin the wheel, make a deal, casket match. It was determined that Grayson Waller would take on Apollo Crews in a casket match because Chucky from... Chucky, Child's Play. He's decided that one of these men will be buried alive in a casket, or not. I guess not buried alive, but closed in a casket. We have some druids who make their way and they take down the casket and set it up to ringside. Well, really, it's a black coffin. And the video package just reminded me that I could not really care about this match. It's because Apollo Crews, ever since coming back to NXT, has had visions. He's that so Raven Apollo Crews, because he can see things before they happen, and he gets in a feud with Waller, who then attacked his eyes, causing Apollo to not see visions. So then he saw a vision of Waller having red eyes, and then Waller attacked him. So that's what sets up this whole thing. Yeah, but wait, there's more. So this is a casket match. Commentary mentioned Vic brings this up. This is the 20th casket match, but the fourth that does not contain The Undertaker. So pretty interesting stat. And the first casket match in NXT history. Apollo Crews starts off by going after Waller. He's really upset because of his eyes. But he does this handspring counter, but ends up eating a super kick. Eventually he comes back. There's a huge belly-to-belly on Waller as he tries to roll him into the casket. Waller then hits a thumb to the eye and sends Crews crashing into the casket, and it just like shatters. He lands in it, and so the ref is like, and then the refs talk and they're like, well, I guess it's over. And then the lights go out and there's like scary music. And then when the lights come back on, Apollo Crews is now on the entrance ramp with all these druids. As the match now restarts, what the fuck? What was going on here? This is spooky Apollo Crews now. So
spooky Crews
here in NXT in the CWC. So it's just Apollo Crews now has taken over the druids of NXT.
Hey bro, the funniest thing was he looked just as confused as everybody.
Why am I doing this shit is probably what was running through his head.
Oh my goodness.
So he goes over and starts fighting Waller again, and then they wheel in the actual casket, like the WWE
the casket.
Yeah, like the actual one. It's pretty big as Booker T starts going off on it, saying it's double deep and double wide, as he says. The match continues, and there's a fall away slam into a Samoan drop, and then there's like a spine buster I think Waller teases he's going for the tombstone, but it's countered into this like tombstone lung blower from Crews, and then hits his.
He like gave him the I forgot who does that move. Like,
yeah,
I, 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 I seen somebody do that move before, but it's, I know you're talking about
Codebreaker, like, essentially.
The double knees.
Yeah. So he hits this and then hits the one-handed spine buster on Waller into the casket and closes it. And Spooky Cruz wins the casket match. And yeah, I mean, if you ask me, I'm not the biggest Grayson Waller fan, but I think kayfabe wise, he was screwed here. He won the match. He had the guy slammed through the coffin. It shattered. The guy was in it. There wasn't even a roof to put on Apollo because it was broken. And then the lights go out. And then all of a sudden the officials are like, oh, actually, here's the casket. Sorry, Waller. That didn't count. What?
Hey, man, look. I'm all for the Apollo Crews rebuild. If this get him a W, then, you know, so be it. But enough with the visions. Enough with, like, him seeing the future.
Yeah.
Enough future with the boy. spooky stuff. Bro.
Spooky Apollo Crews.
I need Apollo Crews to get serious. It's man time. Let's go.
It's too far too gone now. Once you get too spooky, it's too late.
That's an inside joke between me and Martin Bushby right there from a Twitter video we saw. He'll get that if you see it, if you watch it.
Shout out to
Martin Bushby. But in all seriousness though, like I think Apollo Crews, like when he first came into this whole NXT rebuild himself, I think it was going real smooth by just presenting him as the wrestler who's like really good. But at the same time, I do understand that within this infrastructure, you can't just be that guy. You got to have like something attached to you. But I don't know if him seeing visions and him being affiliated with the Druids, having an alliance with the Druids. I don't know like where exactly Apollo Crews fits in that. So I hope that after they move away from this, then we can move on to some like maybe they sort of lean into more of like a heel Apollo Crews, and maybe that's the first person that challenges Wesley for the North American title, and if we could get like a good match out of that, or we can transition to something else. Because I just don't think that this whole paranormal thing is like working. I don't think it works at all.
Yeah, I haven't liked the Mr. Lonely angles where he's just in the park, like he's just in the park in his notepad writing, like, you know, Dear Stan kind of thing.
When he's at the diner.
Yeah, it's just really weird. And then on top of that, the guy can see visions of the future. It's like, come on, like it's just way too hokey. And then it got like way over the top with the match, like with the lights going out, and then he teleported is basically what they're saying. He also teleported to stand with the Druids and then wins the match. They did post on their Twitter since the show ended that a backstage interview with Apollo, and he does say that he did come back to NXT for the NXT title, so that's what he has his sights set on. But I don't know if maybe he won't be seeing those visions hopefully anymore, because I'm definitely over it. It's definitely got to be up there for some of the most hokiest shit NXT has pulled. But
he need a vision of him stop doing
yeah,
that. That's what I want.
A vision of someone telling him to stop doing this fucking stupid gimmick and just wrestle and get over it.
But you know what, Brett? Because I really like Apollo Crews, bro, and I feel like he was one of those first examples or early examples of somebody got called up way too quick. Cause he got thrown into a wild ass position when he got caught.
Yeah, he was always a good wrestler. He's a fantastic wrestler.
He was running
circles around people in the ring, but he never even got a character. He was just always happy to be there, guy who does moonsaults and power moves. So it was really weird.
I feel like when he was on the main roster, they just told him to smile and get out there. Just smile,
it's really weird.
Bro.
Like, now he's got Druids. Like
that's the same thing they told. I feel like that's the same thing they told Finn Balor for a little bit. Like, just smile. Go out there and just smile. Like,
just be happy.
What the fuck are you smiling at?
He's just happy to be here. I hate that in wrestling. This is supposed to be a sport, if you will. Combat sport. I don't want smiles.
But I am excited to see what they do. I'm hopeful that they will move past this whole thing that they got going on. And let's get serious, Apollo Crews.
I personally can't see him winning the NXT title, so I don't have that vision right now.
Yeah, not the NXT, not as long as Bron Breakker holding it, but
yeah,
I can see like maybe down the line, like maybe in the 2023, like maybe with the North American title, I could definitely see that. But honestly, bro, I'm sure eventually he'll be back on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, me too.
I did like his that U.S. title run he had early in the pandemic, and I did like a little bit of the in the kind of the title run, even though they kind of like fucked him over a little bit with that whole thing. Like he was the champion, but wasn't the champion in a way. So yeah, hopefully take baby steps first. Let's get past the spooky stuff.
Yeah, I mean, as far as casket matches go, like it's funny and a gimmick that can go with Halloween Havoc, but it just like the whole storyline of these two, I don't like that. It didn't really match. It wasn't an eye for an eye match. That kind of would have fit the thing, I guess. It was just randomly a casket match. And then for it to stop halfway and then actually bring out the casket instead of the coffins, it was kind of weird. But me and Davey once did a best match ever casket match podcast where we chatted all about them. And I wouldn't say it topped any of the ones we talked about. But we then go to Chase University, a segment backstage with Andre Chase and his students. He's talking about how he gave them homework last Tuesday, and it was on Halloween Havoc history. So he then has some questions for the class and then mentions that some of the students did a good job on their homework, but some of them are the drizzling shits. And then mentions that some people don't know the location of Halloween Havoc 1995, and it shows. And then he welcomes, which I'm not too sure of. Do you know what it is? I'm sure Fire Frank, the BD trivia champion, would know that. Andre Chase welcomes.
You want to know who might know that? Neil Flanagan, who eliminated me from the Up Next Rumble.
Yeah, pour one out. Maybe we'll have to settle the score at Newark. Chase University.
It's getting settled. It's
Chase getting University settled. Brings in a transfer student, Duke Hudson. Yes, he is now enrolled at Chase U. And he knows the trivia question that Andre Chase brings up. And it is at Halloween Havoc 96. Who did the Outsiders beat for the tag titles? Which I do know. Harlem Heat. And Duke gets it right. So Bo is now like,
I said Booker.
Bo. He looks like Bo, but he's blonde. He's like not trustworthy of Duke joining Chase U. So more on that on Tuesday. We then go to Mandy and Alba Fire in the Range Rover. And Alba's just driving and Mandy just can't seem to work those child locks so she can't escape the car while Alba is driving. There's not even like a divider or a partition or anything. It's just she just can't stop Alba from driving, apparently. We go
back. Great driver.
Alba's just
great driver,
just driving really fast. We go to backstage. Pretty Deadly are being interviewed. They are the tag team champions and they have a title match this Tuesday, and they're just in flower shirts. They're not really in the Halloween spirit, and they say that they are the perfect pair with the full itinerary, wink wink. They then say that side plate check and like look at their side plates of the title as Katana and Kaden walk in, who are also the women's tag champions, and they say that this Tuesday they have to defend them, and basically say that Pretty Deadly aren't real fighting champions. And Pretty Deadly call Katana and Kaden Chuckies as they walk off. So I thought that was a good line considering these two.
You expect any title changes this Tuesday? From either of those?
Possibly the women's tag titles, actually. That could kind of change things.
I can see that.
But Pretty Deadly kind of fresh off their win. Probably not so much. We go to our next match, though. Spin the wheel, make a wheel, deal, meal. We have it was already selected, so we knew what it was. The Weapons Wild match, which is essentially a grudge match here between former best friends, Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. The whole storyline here of when Cora turned on Roxanne and beat her with a paper skateboard. Well, out comes Roxanne with not a paper skateboard, but a real one. And she's ready to beat up Cora with it. Roxanne's wearing some like almost like evil clown inspired gear. This match starts off with, like I said, Roxanne just swinging this skateboard back and forth. It's basically like the Phillies game earlier, just trying to swing at Cora's head here. Finally, hits her in the gut, and then in the ring, puts her on the skateboard, and then rolls her, sending her flying outside of the ring. They're then all using weapons and trash cans and kendo sticks. Cora puts the trash can on Roxanne as she hits it and kicks her in the head. At one point, Booker T randomly brings up Cora Jade's time at Freelance Wrestling in Chicago. Shout out Freelance. As Cora Jade then pulls out what is like rope or a noose, and then chains, and she's just beating up on Roxanne here when she hits. So there's like a side rush and leg sweep for a two count. And then finally Roxanne just fires up and keeps coming after Jade, and Jade keeps trying to run away. They're fighting now around the perch area, which is part of the crowd, that lifted area. They then are fighting on top of it when Cora starts pulling away the railing and tries to throw Roxanne off of it. But Roxanne has Cora hanging on this perch. It's almost like the Lion King here, where she's like, no, don't. And she doesn't want to hit her friend. Roxanne's thinking about it. I don't want to do this. When Cora pulls Roxanne in, and they both go flying back first off the perch through some tables, kind of like a side rush and leg sweep off this thing through these tables. The crowd going crazy. That both of them get back into the ring, and Cora thinks she's going to put Roxanne away with this move through all these chairs, and says, "You were never my friend," but gets backdropped. And then Roxanne says, "Well, we'll always be friends," as she hits the pop rocks onto the chairs and gets the 1-2-3 and gets her win back, gets her retribution from her former best friend. Best friends forever. Cora Jade loses to Roxanne here in this weapons wild match. What did you think?
Hey, Cora, she beat Roxanne at Heat Wave. Am I mistaken?
Yeah. So Cora had the victory over Roxanne. Yeah. So now it's two. Okay. Now it's tied up.
Okay. Yeah. I really like the dynamic between them two, because like they are like legit friends outside of. You know, outside of the off screen, they are legit friends. So I think it's cool to like have that little, and of course them having that already established story. Like I had seen an article from an interview, because you know Cora Jade was making like, you know, doing the media rounds and stuff to promote Halloween Havoc, and she said that when the ROH Roxy had sent her a message when the ROH shutdown happened, like I didn't like read the entire article, but I thought that was like just to add to the overall layers of their story, and I think that's going to be one of their one of NXT's sort of longstanding rivalries, and I think they're going to like drag that out a little bit. I think now is like important, because like sometimes like with just in terms of like how Shawn Michaels likes to put out things, like sometimes he doesn't like let it breathe a little bit. Like he likes to go like back right back into the mix. And I feel like this might be an important time, not to keep them completely separate, because you want to keep them intertwined to keep things going, but have them separated, but in a way that they're still like connected in a way, or you can maybe have like a middle person that sort of connects them to in a way, if that makes any sense. But I think that Roxanne and Cora, that's going to be one of NXT's, as far as the women's division goes, that's going to be one of their long-standing rivalries, and that's going to maybe span like a year or two from now. And then I think at some point one of them is going to win the NXT title, and the other one is going to take the title off.
That's where I see it.
That's how it's going to play out.
Yeah, that's how I see it. Yeah. I see after Roxanne winning this, perhaps she's the one to dethrone Mandy, and then the next time Roxanne Cora tangle, it's for the title.
Did Mandy beat her for the title?
Mandy
beat her for the title, but retained over.
Yeah. But it was like a while back. That would make more sense. Right. And I didn't mind this match. It had some, like I said, like kind of plunder and a lot of weapons and stuff like that. But I actually, I think Roxanne is actually just an awesome wrestler. And I think just seeing them have just an actual wrestling match, I think I would have made it a bit more interesting for me to kind of see some of the stuff that they could have come up with, because here it was just a lot of like using weapons and stuff like that, where I think both of them are capable of putting on a really good wrestling match. So I do eventually want to see them kind of have that rubber match between the two, but I would book Roxanne to be the one to take the title. And then it usually is better when the baby face is chasing, baby face chasing Mandy. And then you go back to this feud for the title. Not quite the Gargano Ciampa level of former best friends matches and stuff, but I could still get into it. And I see promise for both
but
of these.
They young as hell. Bro.
Yeah, exactly. Like pretty damn good. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So then.
Hold on. Wait. Booker T.
Oh, Booker T. Sorry. Yeah. Booker T. Am I crazy or was he trying to sell me on Chick-fil-A?
You thought you was at Chick-fil-A, it would have been a 10 piece.
What does that mean?
He was talking.
What is he talking about? He was talking about a 10 piece at Chick-fil-A. Is it because there were so many weapons? Yeah. I don't know what he was.
Yeah. He was talking about because I think Roxanne had swung something at Core, and I think he was like, if that would have connected, she would have been out for a 10 count. And then he was like, and then he just like randomly threw it to Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. Shout out Chick-fil-A. I love the Chick-fil-A sauce. I don't know what the fuck put in that sauce, but
The Polynesian sauce?
I don't know what it is, but it's good. We just got Chick-fil-A like in the last like year or two in Toronto. And it was never here for a while. So like now they are, but they're kind of like, they're acting almost like they're bougie here. There's always lines, you know.
It's going to be. It's like that here still. I can't even remember how long we had Chick-fil-A, but it's to a certain time.
I love I like the waffle fries with the Chick-fil-A sauce or the chicken things, but still to me the Popeye's sandwich with pickles, man. That's the way to go. That's the way.
Smart man.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry if we're making you hungry here. We'll go to our next segment, which is a bonfire. There's some sort of fire somewhere, not related to Alba Fire. And we just see this fire and there's something thrown in it. And it took me a second to kind of figure out what it was, but it looked to me like it was a mask. Someone has thrown their mask into the fire as it burns. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it does resemble the mask of T-Bar.
Hey, if this really is, because you want to know, because I saw Mace Marseille. I saw him tweet like he hinted that it may be Dodger COVID. And he was just I can get you another mask. So maybe it is.
I think it is. It is. Yeah. Dijakovic.
Hey, bro. If there is anybody on that, I'm not gonna say that because I ain't got time to think about everybody right now. But he needs a rebrand. Like I don't know how he got stuck in this T-Bar thing. Like even when Retribution was over, like the fact that he got stuck in there was like
so stupid,
ridiculous. And like I feel like his like the last 2 years of this dude's career has just been like a waste. Like
unfortunate.
I feel like this rebrand, not even rebrand, but just let him go back to Dodger COVID and like let him just be like the tall athletic dude who can like have like bangers. Like I'm pretty sure like you even with you and Davey, I'm pretty sure like every time y'all see this dude, y'all probably think back to that match he had with Keith Lee at Takeover Portland. Like,
yeah, I think of that or even some of the stuff before coming to WWE, even his Ring of Honor run.
Coming to WWE.
Yeah, I always say his issue was he never really had like a character. He was when he came in as Dijakovic in NXT originally, it was kind of like another foreigner gimmick, but at least it was like something to kind of have. I think coming back and just being this kind of killer, he's a lot bigger than a lot of other guys. So I'm super interested. There's a lot of him, you know, Dijakovic versus Bron Breakker, Dijakovic, Dragunov. There's so many different dudes now.
Dijakovic versus Wes Lee. That's a banger.
Like, yo, there you go. Right there. Yeah, exactly. Hayes. There's so many other people. So I hated anything to do with Retribution. So bring this guy back. Let him put on some great matches. And let's see where we can go. And I'm sure he'd go back to the main roster eventually. He just looks huge.
Hey, Ray, one of the worst things about the last regime, like just strictly on the wrestling side, like it's a whole bunch of other stuff, like they ain't got nothing to do with but that's outside of the wrestling stuff, but like strictly on the wrestling, like one of the worst things is like from that previous regime, the like Vince McMahon running stuff, is this idea that you can't just go out there and put on a great match and get over.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this guy could do that for sure.
Dumbest
Yeah. No,
that,
for sure.
That doesn't be said. That's it. That's all I got to
say. That's how it used to be. Like when you watch dudes have amazing matches and they still lose, but they get the heat back because it was such a, like, everyone loses their mind. Like, yeah, this guy could put on some good matches. I am interested to see.
Triple H, put Cedric Alexander on Raw. Please, let's get it.
Put Cedric on not just main event.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have a commercial for NXT Deadline, which is the next NXT premium live
same
event.
Day. Yeah. Same day is ROH Final Battle.
December 10th. There you go. The December 10th battle of the shows. So yeah, Deadline. Maybe we'll fantasy predict some of the matches after we talk about the main event tonight. We go to Shotzi Blackheart. She doesn't call herself that, but you can call her Shotzi Beetlejuice here. Shotzi Juice. There got to be a way to say that better, but Shotzi Beetlejuice comes out.
They're going to clip you. They're going to clip you on that one, brother.
This was an amazing costume here. Beetle Shotzi, I guess, is probably the best way. Because she comes out dressed as Beetlejuice here, looking fantastic, as she always does in these elaborate costumes. But I'm going to beat you to the punch here, Andrew. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Never mind. We'll continue. So Shotzi brings out Quincy. It didn't work. And Quincy's a banana. He's in a banana costume. And they're talking about how they're having fun here at Halloween Havoc when they are interrupted by Lash Legend in a very nice, like, diamond and sequins kind of outfit.
She looked great.
She calls Shotzi the Green Goblin, which got a huge pop from me. And then she goes off saying that, you know, why did we need another host when everyone knows I'm the best host in NXT, referring to her old TV show. And then Quincy tells her to skirt yo ass back to the locker room. So she calls Quincy a banana nut. And then Shotzi screams and says, don't worry, I can handle this, Quincy. Headbutts Lash, hits her with a DDT as Quincy says, world star. And then they celebrate for Halloween Havoc.
And then the match is made official for Wednesday. I mean, Tuesday.
Tuesday, yes. Shotzi versus Lash.
I am praying for their mentions, man, because people, like, especially with, like, for, like on some real shit right now, like with Lash. But I get that she's not, like, as developed as, like, people wanted, but I'm talking about, like, this, like, sometimes I see, like, this, like, blatant, like, there's people who have, like, their little slip ups in the ring and stuff like that. But, like, it's like every time she's in the ring, bro, it's like she's the topic of conversation. They'd be like going after this black woman, bro. Like it ain't nothing. Like, and I mean, when you a wrestler, bro, like you got to be able to take criticism. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to have thick skin because people going to talk shit about you regardless. Like, it don't matter if you. Yeah, bro, people be going in on Kenny Omega. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a wrestler, bro, you just gotta have thick skin. But, like, sometimes, like, when I see like the stuff about her in particular, it's like they just be like anytime she's in the ring, it's like, oh, like I don't really get it. I mean, I get to a certain extent of, like, the wrestling that people want or may want. They wanted to be tight if it's going to be on national TV. And that I understand. I do. I really get that. But, like, sometimes I see, like, they just be, like, picking at her and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean.
No. Especially again, the one match last year, a lot of people were going off. Yeah. Me and Davey have talked about her quite a few times on the show. It's almost like she's, you know, put on national TV here on and matches. And these are, like, some of her first matches. This was way before. I think doing the loops that NXT have been doing, they've been doing more live shows, just like last week, this week.
Yeah,
that is what will help people get better, and I think she will get better. But I can't say that I'm super excited to see Shotzi and Lash Legend on Tuesday, but I am excited that, you know, we're still seeing more integration with the older guard versus kind of the new school. And that's only going to help Lash Legend get better and better. So, you know, it could surprise us and be pretty, pretty good. Who knows?
Great talk.
I loved Quincy saying world star. I haven't heard that in a while. I didn't know people still do that in Toronto. They go six buzz. That's what we got over here. I don't know. World
what
stars
the hell is that?
Six Buzz? Yo, I'll teach you up on the culture of Toronto. Six Buzz. Someone knows what I'm talking about, but yeah, world star. We go to Joe Gacy and the Schism, meaning his two pals. They say, hey, it's Halloween Havoc, but everyone wears masks every other day of the year anyways.
Hey, Brady, can I just say something real quick? There is nothing more in this world that I want. Well, let me not be that dramatic, but bro, I want Rip Fowler and Jagger Reed to go back to just being Grizzly Young Veterans so bad. Like,
yeah, I know what you mean. Like, they were a unit that was working, that could have worked on the main roster, but
yes,
now they're just being these two like really weird looking weirdos. And they say here that they have a message and it's going to be now delivered by force. Cameron Grimes, it's not over. Then we see the red hoodie person and they say this Tuesday is your time in the lights and you will breathe in the fresh air. Four roots, one tree, one family. This Tuesday, the red hoodie will be revealed. But it sounded like he was singing some like Phil Collins Tarzan here. Four roots, one tree, one family. Trust your heart. Let they decide. Really strange promo. I hate the Joe Gacy stuff, but the best thing about Joe Gacy is his theme song. And even you could admit that is quite a good song. But yeah, we didn't get to hear it here.
It's all right.
It's all right. It's all right.
But it's going to be Nikki Cross.
It's going to be Nikki Cross? Oh, I don't think so. I think it's going to be Isla Dawn or whatever they change her name to now.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about it. She didn't get released? She didn't get released?
No. Or like a swerve here, Saray. I don't know.
No. That's horrible.
I think it's Isla Dawn.
What happened to her?
Exactly. She's been on TV. This could be her. I don't know. Yeah,
but can you imagine Saray getting corrupted by Joe Gacy?
Exactly, it sounds Rip like Fowler captivating TV. Rip Taylor and Jagger and Fowler, man. Yeah, I like that they have masks now. They have like these like creepy smiley, almost like the Bray Wyatt, but like smiley masks. So at least that's something. I guess, but yeah, still an act.
It ain't working for me.
Yeah,
bro.
It's not good. It's not good. But we'll see on Tuesday. We get a Diamond Mine video here showcasing the history of Diamond Mine and this grudge match between Damon Kemp, former member of Diamond Mine, versus Julius Creed. And this is an ambulance match. Yeah, I can't remember the last
this.
Time. Yeah, I can't remember the last time I saw an ambulance match, but it's happening here.
Oh, Braun and
Braun, yeah, true.
Braun and Roman.
Roman, yeah. I'm not finished with you yet. Mm-hmm. So this video for Diamond Mine is pretty cool because it shows the history of Diamond Mine here. And I mean, shout out Tyler Rust, Hatchy Man, Stokely, you know, like we had some great members of Diamond Mine through the years. And,
you know, it was great, bro. That was just last year. That was last summer.
Wow. That's wild. Feels like 3 years ago or something. Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
exactly.
Diamond Mine is forever, though. And it shows Roddy bringing in Kemp and Kemp turning on them, which sets up this match. If Julius loses this match, his brother has to leave WWE. So that's the stipulation. His brother has to leave and be unemployed if Julius loses. So the only way to win is throwing them in the back of the ambulance and closing the door. But the ambulance is like backstage somewhere. So it's really weird that they have to like go there and then bring it back to the ring and then keep going, rinse, repeat, but still works. This is pretty good. Damon Kemp, Julius Creed, they go at it here. Damon Kemp with the best Balls Mahoney tribute because he's got the chair that he attacked them with, but now he's got Julius's name spray painted on it here as he starts running at Julius. But Julius comes in throwing pumpkins and then a drop kick off the top to the chair to the face. He's then doing suplexes and then they fight around the ambulance, but he stops from getting put in with some crutches. And Julius is now just throwing these crutches, just whipping them. And these are real crutches. They look like it hurt. There's then a fire extinguisher at one point into the face of Kemp. And then Kemp fights back and tries to put Julius back in. They get steel steps involved. There's a rock bottom from Kemp to Julius onto the steel steps. And then there's a wheelchair that's brought out. And Julius puts Kemp in the wheelchair and then rolls him face first into like the steel steps. Look pretty cool. But then there's a stretcher brought out as well, where they're then throwing each other. They keep going back to the ambulance and hitting each other with it. At one point, Kemp thinks he's going to win, but the door is then slammed on Julius's fingers. And then again and again, I mean, I don't know how you're, it's not gimmick. This is an actual door to an actual ambulance. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the trick here is to not having this really hurt. I mean, if you ever had your hand jammed in anything, you watching this, you're like, okay, wait a second. And he does it like three times. So Julius, this awakens the beast in the Creed here, because he just goes absolutely nuts, beats the shit out of Kemp, spears him into like a wall that's not gimmicked at all, that doesn't break, it just looks like it really hurts, throws him on top of a table, and then elbow drops him through the table, grabs the steel chair, hits Kemp like 20 times repeatedly, grabs the stretcher, and then power bombs him onto it, rolls it into the ambulance, shuts the doors, and Brutus Creed gets to keep his job because his brother's keeper wins the match here. Diamond Mine is forever. What did you think of this brutal ambulance match?
Bro, I really like this. This is a fight. It wasn't even like, I don't even know how else like to describe it. Like they went out there and they had a fight. Like that's exactly what it was. Like I really enjoyed the build up to it, and I think when you have. But Brayden, have you ever seen wrestling matches, bro, when it's like a quote unquote blood feud, and then the people just go out there and they just wrestle?
Headlocks. Yeah.
Headlocks and like y'all doing like technical moves. I don't know if I want to see that. I mean, you want to see that, but like when it is built up the way it was, you want to see people go out there and fight and act like they out there, you know, slugging it. Like, we ain't trying to wrestle. We ain't trying. If you had to choose anybody in NXT to go out there and wrestle, I'm talking about wrestle, you would pick the two collegiate
champions. These two guys. Yeah,
these
guys.
They go out there and do that. But they went out there, bro, and they beat the shit out of each other. And that's all it was. It was a fight. Like, they was in and out the ring. Julius started the match. His big ass did a springboard flat. Like, I can only imagine that visual, like, in person. Like, seeing this, like, big ass dude, like, just flying. And he did, like, a springboard drop kick. Crazy. And, like...
No, crazy stuff.
I'm gonna be real with you, bro. Like, I remember when back in 2018, when Gerald, you know who Gerald Briscoe is, right?
Yeah.
So when he was doing recruiting for WWE, when he first recruited Julius from Duke, he had did an interview with ESPN. He was like, he think that Julius is gonna be the next John Cena.
Yeah, I see.
I don't know about all that.
I don't know about John Cena, but I see a big thing. Kurt Angle, maybe.
He looked like John Cena.
He looks like, I mean, he dresses like Kurt Angle, kind of. He didn't have straps on in this match, but no, I see big things for Julius, man.
Yeah, bro, again, the John Cena thing, I don't know about all that, but I can see Julius is, I mean, I think this is probably the fairest thing to say. 20 years from now, Julius still gonna be in WWE, and he probably gonna be like a 2-time, 3-time champion by then. So. Yep.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
I agree. I think this guy will be a future WWE champion. I think him and Brutus make a great tag team, but I definitely see Julius as the big star. And bro, they've been testing him.
He got charisma, bro.
Yeah, they've been testing him. They did this whole thing is developmental, and this whole storyline is him finally cutting a lot more promos, doing like sit down interviews and stuff like that. A lot more like personality kind of coming out and making it about like how the grudge match and the brother and all that stuff. So they're trying to get that out of him and get the charisma and the character and the wrestler character kind of out there, because the wrestling, man, these guys, I kind of said it earlier where, these two some days somehow will have another match where it's strictly wrestling and suplexes, and we will applaud. Yeah, it's going to be great. But this was the match where the story was he's mad at this guy for turning on him. So it made way more sense. And I can't wait to see these guys wrestle again, because I'm sure that maybe we will get there possibly. But Julius is the real deal for sure. I really got into this match. It was a lot of like going back and forth from the ambulance, but they had my attention, and I will give it to Vic and Wade for kind of like, hey, like this guy's fired up. But it was the spot near the end where he kept getting his hand slammed by the door, and I was like, damn, that looks like it hurts. And then they did it again, and then he just, it fires them up, and then just that was the end for Damon Kemp here. I really like that. And he was struggling to get him up for that powerbomb, but once he did, he crushed him on that stretcher, and it looked really good. So I enjoyed this match.
Let me ask you this. So Damon Kemp, he did get thrown in the back of the ambulance. Do you think the next time he shows up with Gable Stevenson?
That's okay. So I think that we were all expecting a swerve where Roddy was not actually taken out, and then he costs Julius or something like that. But that was not the case. It was pretty much it was clean. Like, he threw him in the back of the ambulance, and that was it. No Roddy. Afterwards, Brutus and Ivy celebrate in the middle of the ring with Julius, but no Roddy because he's still hurt, you know. But yeah, I was expecting maybe something a bit different. I mean, you could put Damon and Roddy in a group still together, or his brother Gable, or I don't know. There's a few different ways you could have went about it, but either way, I just want to see more of the Creed brothers and see what more these guys can do. Like Julius, like, give him some time, give him some reps. Hey. Like, this guy will be having some great like Julius Braun, Julius Ilya, Julius anyone on the main roster. He could have some sweet matches.
Hey, Braden, is somebody who's like, you know, you and Davey, y'all like focusing on NXT. Like, do you think it's time that that the Creed brothers start getting like those not even TV, but you think it's time they start bringing them to SmackDown for dark matches?
Yeah, like it can get to that time. They've already been the champs here. They just had this kind of bigger storyline where there was a lot more like promos and talking. So like, yeah, at this point, I think
not a call up, but like just. You know what I'm saying?
They do that all the time. Why not? I like these guys, and I could see out of a lot of the stuff I don't like in NXT the past year in 2.0, they were the standout, and this was pretty good. And I do see big things for Julius. He's awesome. So Julius wins it, puts him in the ambulance, and Diamond Mine is forever. So I saw Hachiman tweeting out a diamond, so he was watching.
That's cool.
All the generations of the greatest stable in NXT history. I could see the four of them, meaning Ivy, Roddy, and the Creeds, moving up as a unit there as well. But
they got a lot of. Have you noticed like a lot of the four person groups up there? Like they got Legato. They got just groups in general. Like they start and of course I think the person that's going to be joining Hit Row next week on SmackDown, I don't know. I'm just saying, I think it might be Lio Rush. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Because, and the only reason I'm saying that is because Lio Rush was supposed to be in the original.
Yeah, he was supposed to be in the original. It was based around him.
AJ, Swerve, Lio, and Ashante. And I think B-Fab was supposed to be in the, I think it was supposed to be a five person group. With the five of them. So, yeah. I mean, it would make sense if it was Lio. I saw some people throwing out Carmelo Hayes. No. Carmelo, look, I'm all for groups. I'm all for black talents elevating each other. I feel like Carmelo needs to be like standalone. Like,
I agree.
Solo. I mean, not solo, but Trick. He needs to be with Trick.
Trick has been great. Trick is, I pulled a whole 180 on Trick. He is completely
is great.
And it works. They work really well together. So I don't want to see. Yeah, I don't want to see that at all. But Lio Rush would be a great shout there to see that kind of brought back. We go backstage to Zoe Starks and Nikita Lyons. They are the challengers for the tag titles this Tuesday, and they say that they've been beaten down and had injuries, but now they're together and they're going to kick the door down and they're going to take those titles on Tuesday when Idris and Malik show up. And man, Malik, I mean, he's been wearing
MAGA Nikita. I had to throw that out there. I'm sorry. Like, did you see that video that she posted, which like she had to like the music in the background that was like very like pro Trump. It was ridiculous, but anyway, I digress.
I forget we had a bunch of nicknames people were I forget what it was, but
I know,
MAGA,
I know
MAGA the Stallion, yeah, stuff like that. Idris and Malik have been an interesting team because Malik wears these sweater vests. He finally wrestled without it like recently, which I think is a good idea, but coming to the ring with it, sure. But he's been wearing different like sweater vests, and here at Halloween Havoc, he's got a pumpkin one. So I will give him his props. He had to probably go and find that somewhere. So good for him.
Hey, have you seen their YouTube channel?
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
But did you see the spoof they did on the CM Punk?
Yeah. That's what I. These guys are definitely growing, and they got a good chemistry together that I like. They say that they are going to win the tag titles this week, so both of these teams will walk out as new champs. Two teams and two big dreams. So tag team title Tuesday, this Tuesday on NXT. And then we go to our next match, which is what is our next match? It is
Alba versus Mandy.
Yes, Alba versus Mandy. Well, it starts as we see the ambulance is leaving the CWC here, and it drives off into a magical darkness of Florida somewhere. As we see a car now approaching in the same shot, the white Range Rover. Alba pulls up and opens the doors, but Mandy escapes and she's crawling away. They start brawling into the arena, and then the match is made official. It starts off women's title on the line. Alba hits a DDT for a near fall. Mandy eventually starts fighting back and hits a fallaway slam. Booker T just starts to go off on Mandy Rose, saying that she reminds him of Rocky Balboa and that Mandy is, and I quote, looking good. And Mandy comes back with a spine buster for a near fall. Alba hits a fireman carry into a spine buster and then a swanton bomb, but it's only a near fall. And then Toxic Attraction show up, even though they were left for dead at the haunted house. But me and you kind of figured it out that they probably just used Lyft or something to get here. The ref is there and he's like, oh, you guys are here now. JC gets super kicked off the apron onto the ref, who I don't know what
he's
doing.
She didn't fall on him.
Yeah.
She didn't fall on him.
It was not the best perfectly executed spot. This means Toxic is all taken out. Alba hits the gory bomb. I don't know why she just doesn't call it the fire bomb, but there's no ref to count it. So she goes out to wake the ref up when Toxic hit her with the toxic elimination, as I call it. They roll her back in the ring. And this allows Mandy to hit the rose trigger or the kiss from a rose, as they call it. And then the ref hits the slow 1-2-3. Mandy retains, meaning she's been champion for a whole year.
Hey, Brad, when they said on commentary, when they mentioned that on commentary that she was going to be champion for a full year, I was like, she probably going to retain. Because I'm... Now, why I do think that Toxic Attraction, like, is a trio... And for real, I ain't even gonna lie to you, bro. Like, I wouldn't even be mad if Sonya Deville got added to it because, I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah,
because her and Mandy's thing. But I do think that Toxic is ready for the call up, bro. I feel like they're an NXT to now at this point to help sort of like, as far as the tag team goes, to help, you know, facilitate some things and just to play the middle people. But I do feel like they're ready to move up to rather Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah,
my point, like, I was just, I think that you made a good point earlier when you was like, Roxanne will probably be the one to take the title off Mandy. I think that's like the best thing. But like, if I was booking something, right, and I'm like, okay, we got like 4 days until she becomes a 4 years champion. Like, well, why not, bro? You know what I'm saying? Like, what? You know what I'm saying? You might as well just give it to her. I mean, especially if the intentions are to eventually have her lose the title, like, very quickly after or somewhat near after, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why not just give it a shit? You know,
I didn't think this was bad. I thought I think Alba Fire is someone who should be on the main roster as well. She's been killing it way before even she was in WWE. So like, I do think she's great and definitely was a big part of this match. It got my attention when I didn't necessarily think that it would. I kind of forgot that this match was happening considering that she was kidnapped, but then I realized, oh yeah, she's coming to the arena without Toxic. That makes sense. And then Toxic show up anyways, but it was a classic Mandy match, but I had some cool spots, but I do think the direction would be Roxanne taking it off Mandy at that deadline show in December. I think that would make it a big, like a long reign that's finally defeated. It gives Roxanne the whole heat. Then you can move Toxic to the main roster with that act. Even
right in the book.
There you go. Book it. Give me the fucking book. We then go to our main event of the evening. It is a triple threat match for the NXT World Championship. The champion, Bron Breakker, defending against JD McDonough and Ilya.
JD McDonough, don't Google me.
Don't Google me, as Kevin Owens said last week. Ilya Dragunov, Bron Breakker, and JD McDonough. JD comes out and Ilya comes out. And then I said out loud, is Bron going to break something? What's he going to break? Is there a pumpkin he's going to break or something? And boy, was I on the right path there, because there is the graveyard for the Halloween Havoc set. And now there is two gravestones, one with Ilya's name on it and the other with JD, as Bron takes out a shovel and smashes both of the tombstones in his entrance here, showing up in Halloween Havoc 2000 Scott Steiner inspired gear on Bron Breakker here, looking real fresh. So this match starts off three men here, and they just take turns. Sorry, it's Dragunov and Bron taking turns beating on JD because they both hate this guy. Eventually, JD fights back, and there's a great back and forth with Dragunov here, where he hits like a Uranage and then a moonsault and then a slingshot corkscrew senton, which is crazy. Bron comes in, he's belly to bellying these guys, and these look great. Then there's like elbow strikes, and then there's a Death Valley driver into the corner on JD from Ilya onto Bron, and then hits the coast to coast at both of them. There's then lots of boos for Bron Breakker here in the CWC. Big fans of JD and Ilya here in Florida, apparently. There's a whole chop fest. Eventually, Bron goes to do the military press on Ilya, but gets headbutted the Irish kiss from JD, which breaks that up. And then up top, Bron hits a Frankensteiner to JD, who then in midair gets caught by Dragunov, who sit out Liger bombs him. This was an incredible spot. This is some like stuff I used to give play in like WWE 2K, like tag team finishing moves. This was sweet. Frankensteiner onto a guy, and then he gets caught with the sit out bomb, but it's broken up, but sweet, sweet move. JD then hits a beautiful acai moonsault to the outside for onto both guys as he tries to pin them. Ilya gets back in and power bombs Bron, and then just starts to go into this next level. Super Saiyan Dragunov here, when he just starts screaming and starts delivering elbows to Bron. When out of nowhere in the corner of our screen, JD hits a 450 for a near fall. There's brain busters, crazy Germans. There's then a spot where Bron Germans Ilya, who's also Germaning.
That was crazy. I love that spot, bro.
Yeah. But McDonough goes all the way over like a full rotation. This was sweet. There's then the patented Steiner Bulldog to Ilya. Bron pulls the straps down, but as he hits Dragunov with the military press power slam, JD throws Bron out of the ring, gets the pin on Ilya, but it's only a two count. I definitely bit on this. I was like, no way JD's getting the win here, but that would be the way he does it. But great, great bit there. Then eventually there he goes up top, and Dragunov hits a senton off the top and then sets up for the torpedo. But JD stops the ref from counting the three on Bron. So I also bit on this.
I thought he messed the spot up.
Yeah.
I thought he was late. And then when I saw him grab that, I was like, oh shit.
I mean, pretty smart, right? Why don't you just stop if the ref can't count if you grab his hand? So the ref did not count the three. This pisses off and awakens Killer Dragunov, who chases him around ringside, but ends up running into a Spanish fly. There's then chair attempts from McDonough, but he gets headbutted again by Dragunov, who then goes back into the ring. And as he sets up Bron for the torpedo Moscow, he runs at Bron, but ends up eating a spear, and Bron Breakker pins Ilya Dragunov to retain the NXT title in 23 minutes, 47 seconds in one hell of a main event. I mean, this was definitely a takeover worthy NXT championship triple threat. This was awesome. All three guys put on their worker boots here. This was fantastic. What did you think?
Bro, I don't even know what else to say. Like this is a great match. I genuinely don't even know what else to say. Like it was really just a great match. Like all of them with the work. Like I was in it from start to, I mean, at the beginning I was kind of in and out, but like they got me right back in it. So And then like once we got to that certain point where I was in it, like they never lost me like that to that one point in that match. And
yeah,
bro, that was a great triple threat, bro. Like a great event. That's a match you want to close your show. Like honestly, I ain't gonna lie to you. Like when I saw the credit at the bottom of the screen, I was waiting for Austin Theory.
Yeah, Theory.
Because the thing that made me think that was they took him out the video package. Like they showed it at first to open the show, but when the main event started, they took him out, and I was right. Like, oh, they try to make you forget like what happened. So I thought that they was going to do something, but he cashed it on Braun and won the belt, and then he went back to NXT. But I mean, I'm kind of like hindsight being 2020, I'm kind of glad that didn't happen because like I feel like now people can just enjoy the main event for what it was. Like it was just a great showing by all three of them. And with Braun, like
he was getting booed.
That's a crazy thing. But I don't really know what's next for Braun.
Yeah, I mean,
like be honest with you, me personally, I want Carmelo to take the strap off him.
Me too.
I feel like that's like the right transition. And I feel like Carmelo is getting old. Like you want to know what's interesting about what you just said, Brayden? Like I feel like Braun is like starting to get booed, and it's not because of anything he's doing wrong. He's a good wrestler, right?
Yeah, he's
like,
getting better and better. Yeah.
It's just like people are. It's just wrestling. Like it happens in wrestling. Like people they start to notice that you start to become the guy, so they flip on you.
Of course.
And I feel like with Melo, it's like people like he's the bad guy, but people don't want him to be the bad guy. They like him. You know what I'm saying? Like
exactly.
They want him to be the guy.
I think heel Braun Breaker would be awesome when that does happen.
That's where the money is.
Like the fickle fan in me is like, of course he had to pin Ilya. Like, of course Dragunov took the pin because that kind of clarifies like, okay, now we're not going to get that singles match between the two, which would definitely slap. I mean, anyone who could watch this, you'd be like, oh, it's JD and Dragunov who are going to do all this crazy stuff. And then there's Braun, but I actually thought Braun held his own and he was awesome in a lot of these spots and he was on point and having matches with someone as like loved as treated as this like wrestling warrior of Dragunov. Like that's how you learn. I will say there was a segment near towards the end where it was Braun and Dragunov, like, and Dragunov was just forearms and elbows and Braun was just coming back with the weakest looking punches compared to what Dragunov was laying down. Yeah, no, so right. I was like, all right, maybe we could work on that, Braun. But he keeps getting better. I think, though, it just would have made things a bit more like exciting and interesting if there was a title change. But fantasy booking deadline, I would book Carmelo Hayes versus Braun Breaker. And I think it would be Hayes to take it from him. He is just kind of the next level. And I think that
Carmelo got the people right now, man.
Yeah, no, that would be an awesome match. But this was an awesome match. I mean, what do we do with Dragunov and JD kind of after this? Like, do you put Dragunov on SmackDown? Does he start having, you know, matches with people? I just don't know where we kind of go for that. Does Dragunov show up on Raw? It's kind of stay away from Gunther and stuff. But yeah.
But you know what? If you just gave me a great idea. I'm so glad you said that. So with Ilya. But see, the thing is, I don't know how he would resonate on the main roster. Like, I'm talking about, like, I know we get him. We get him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know there's, like, a group of people, like, not group of people, like, there's abundance of people that get him. But, like, I'm talking about just that transition, like, in terms of, like, how some of the fans might react to him on the main roster show as opposed to NXT fan base, where they know what it is about. So it's not a thing where he has to, like, warm up to them or nothing like that. But see, this is the thing with Ilya. If you could find two people to put him with that can go against Imperium on SmackDown, and like if you could just find two people, bro, that fit with him, and maybe one of those individuals is great on the mic, he'd be good, and he could be the star. He don't gotta talk, bro. Ludwig Kaiser does it all talking. Gunther's the guy. Everybody knows he's the guy, but Ludwig is the one that does all the mic work. He's
I like Dragunov. So I'm pretty sure Dragunov can speak perfect English. I love his promo.
No. Of course. But I mean, just like you can follow that same formula in terms of like you can have somebody that can do all that stuff for him while still making him the guy. Like you do Gunther. Gunther can speak. You know what I'm saying? He's good on the mic. but Ludwig is the guy that does all that for him. So right. if you have a similar, follow a similar formula, and not necessarily copy it play by play, but like have two guys with him that can go hard, just like how Sheamus got Ridge and Butch, and just go about it like that. And I feel like that would be an easier way than just, hey, here's this Ilya Dragunov guy on the main roster. But instead, it's like, hey, here's him. It's two other dudes. And now you got a trio with all these other trios. And now all these other trios beefing with each other.
They are going with more. Yeah, they're definitely following the like, hey, let's go back to having
factions, bro.
Factions and stables yeah. and stuff. And that's what's that definitely works for sure.
It's easier to throw people to the wolves, so to speak, when you got two other people or three
exactly.
other people
yeah.
beside you to pick
yeah,
them,
no.
to build up off you, bro. It's just easier. Like it's maybe easy to bounce, especially when you're making that transition, especially when, and it's not no Ricky, you know what I'm saying? He's been wrestling for a long ass
time,
but like just that transition is, yeah, you go ahead, Ray.
I think Dragunov was pinned, so I guess we won't go to Braun versus Dragunov singles match, I think you still could do, maybe even just for a TV special, which would be great. But I think the deadline pay-per-view would be Braun versus Carmelo, and maybe Dragunov versus JD, like one-on-one, kind of maybe continue that feud where they can spiral into some sort of program together. And then adding to that deadline show, I would also add probably Mandy Roxanne, which like there's three solid matches like right there that you could do, and you could do Pretty Deadly Creed Brothers as well. But overall, like we kind of said earlier, like a bit of a sandwich here with what I liked and some of the stuff I didn't like, because the opening match of this show tonight was great with the ladder stuff and Wes getting his big moment. And then there was stuff in the middle I didn't really care for, a lot of it. And then the ambulance match definitely got me back. And then the main event easily the match of the night was the main event. Yeah. And Dragunov to me is just awesome. JD definitely brought it. Everyone brought it, I thought, in that match. But a fun show. Halloween Havoc is always like fun. It's got the gimmicks and the spooky stuff and everything. So they can get away with that kind of stuff. But I hope going forward with Apollo Crews kind of putting his name in the hat to challenge for the NXT title, going away from the spooky stuff. Once November 1st hits, you know, cue Mariah Carey and let's get away from the spooky stuff and go into business as usual. But I still think like this isn't quite a takeover level show, but I thought the main event was a takeover level match. So I still enjoyed watching the show, but not as quite as some of the others. I liked this one a lot more than I think the last premium live event that they did, but really got into that main event. Solid show, I thought. So fun times.
So I think at some point between now and deadline, we will get Nakamura versus Braun for the
NXT title. Let's do it. Book it. Yeah, book it on a Tuesday night. For sure. We're going to get Apollo Crews as well facing Braun in the near future, I'm sure, if they don't even add that soon. So I'm sure you could see that. There's definitely different things, but I do think kind of the deadline end game right now is
Hayes. That's Carmelo, bro.
Yeah, he's the one,
bro.
Yeah, for sure. He's got to have his comeback after losing here. He's going to have to.
He's been losing a lot, too.
Yeah, that's probably why, because they're like, don't worry, we got kind of bigger things on the horizon there for him. Solid show. And then they had ads for 2 weeks, Roman Reigns versus Logan Paul, where finally it ends. The streak will finally end and Logan Paul will walk out WWE champion. And then Roman can face The Rock non-title at WrestleMania. It'll be great.
You want to know the funny thing about these Saudi shows is like sometimes I feel like I feel like if you was to ever do some crazy shit, that's the place to do it. Because you're going to get the reaction that you want.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine if Austin Theory cashed in on Logan Paul? Won the championship in Saudi, bro.
Hey,
Brian, you want to know what's crazy? So, like, I don't know if he just slipped up. And you could go look at it. But this is before Clash of the Castle. And I think this was like when Logan Paul, like, you know, I think him and Roman had some... No, I don't think so. But he was just like, he had said that he was going, you go look up the promo, but this was like this had to be like the week before Clash of the Castle. He was like, I'm a cash in at Crown Jewel. And then he stopped himself.
Right.
And he said, no, I made Clash of the Castle. and I don't know if that was like something that people were supposed to catch, but like, bro, ever since he said that, I've been thinking about that. And then now that I see Logan Paul's in it, I was just like, bro, can you imagine the reaction online if this was?
Yeah, I mean, I think Roman retains, obviously. I'm kind of joking.
Yeah, of course.
I think it would rattle a lot of people and get people talking about it. I mean, as we see, controversy definitely creates cash, as we've seen on the other side of the fence with like AEW and the whole Punk scenario. Like, as much as people are like, oh, that's so awful that they're outing all this stuff, but like ratings are like more steady than they've been. So like, that's kind of the way it is.
Hey, Brad, let me ask you this real quick. I know you're about to jump off, but like, can you have it like, okay, if that report is true that, you know, that there are conversations ongoing about CM Punk having his contract bought out by AEW, and the only thing that's holding it up is the non-compete, which is interesting. But do you think there's any chance?
Yes, absolutely. Never say never in pro wrestling. This industry is so ridiculous and so fun. And I mean, yeah, I definitely could see that happening. Imagine CM Punk wants to finally main event WrestleMania. He can do that. He can face Kevin Owens and it would be awesome.
Hey, I know that shit eat at him. I know it. It's you know, no way it doesn't, bro.
For sure.
It's no way.
That's why he was so mad. That's why he's so mad lately. He's like, that should have been me.
Did you see after he did that when Kevin Owens posted the picture of him main event?
I did. So there you go. There's the beef right there. Start the feud. I mean, never say never in wrestling. I'm CM Punk is never one of my all time favorites, but I really loved his comeback and really loved his feud with MJF. It was really good, and I was really getting into it. But he definitely rubbed me the wrong way as a fan, just airing out laundry.
Bro, he did it to himself.
He did. So
that's a grown up, bro. I always say this, bro.
I mean,
Oh, you were right.
But no, I'm just like, it's wrestling. So like this always happened. Like, when, you know, we're me and you are a bit younger than like wrestling fans who were watching deep in it, you know, Monday Night Wars and all that stuff. But like, people jump ship and there's never say nevers and stuff like that. So like, yeah, you could see Punk versus Cody. Punk Roman is the ultimate end game, you know, make Roman look strong. Essentially all you have to cut promos about that. And that would instantly sell that. Like there is so much that you could do. It is unfortunate that if is the case that he's done with them. I don't think it's necessarily such a big blow to AEW, but it was pretty much like, yeah, they'll be fine. But it was also like, look, we got Punk and he's gone. So it's like, almost like, but yeah.
That was a year ago.
A year ago. Crazy.
A year ago.
1 year ago it's can crazy. Change a lot in this industry, apparently, because in this one crazy, year, just bro. So much shit went down on this stuff, in this stuff. And that's why it's fun to talk about. But it was fun to talk to you, Andrew, here tonight, all about Halloween.
It's always good talking to you, bro.
It is. And I can't wait to talk to you in person when we finally get to meet up at the post-wrestling extravaganza in Newark, New Jersey.
The Multiverse.
I can't wait. That's going to be crazy. Before Full Gear, we're all going to be there. It's going to be great. Postwrestling.com for all of the information there. And anyone listening to this, you want to hear more of us, me and Davey will be back Tuesday night with Up Next, chatting all about NXT, Shotzi and Lash Legend. And then Wednesday night, we're going to be doing BD Elite, chatting all about Moxley versus Penta, which I'm super excited about now. They're advertising that. Patreon.com/upnext. $5 a month. Halloween Havoc 97 reviews up. The Omen reviews coming up. We got so many podcasts. It's only $5. Go check us out. It's how we keep the lights on here. Andrew, let the people know where they can find you, what you got going on lately, all that stuff. The floor is yours, man.
Follow me on Twitter at @AndyThompson__. Check out my YouTube channel, the Andrew Thompson Interviews YouTube channel. And I'll be putting a new interview up on Tuesday with somebody who's in a championship match, and the women's championship match, and at NWA Hard Times 3. Very exciting conversation, hour long. Got a lot of good content in that interview, and the written version will be up on post. And that's about it. You check me out on Instagram as well, @AndyThompson__, and I will see all the good people from post next month in Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah, it's going to be a
looking
fun time.
To it.
Yeah, I can't wait. Andrew, it was a fun chat with you, chatting all about Halloween Havoc. 2022. Everyone listening, hit that follow, subscribe. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, give us a nice review. We're nice, right? Give us a nice review. It doesn't take much time, but it does a lot. At Up Next Podcast on Twitter, if you haven't followed already. And I myself, Brayden Harrington, you can find me Twitter and Instagram. I'm at the Bray D. And that is it. That is all. We are getting out of here. Happy Halloween. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And shout out to Von Wagner's Cornrows.